Hello, Solari Report subscribers. It's Friday, December 1st. We're recording the same day this is posted, presumably, assuming nothing happens to prevent our posting of it. And this is Tech Corner. I'm here with James, and I'm going to be reading the questions because James is a bit under the weather.
Yes, I am. And hello, everyone.
So, the first question is, please recommend a safe and hopefully free replacement for Microsoft products, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, etc., please. Okay, I have a link in the notes to a LibreOffice. Documentfoundation.org is the location of where at least one source of freeware for various things, including substitutes, if you will, of Microsoft products. And LibreOffice is the one I use. I have used OpenOffice. They're very slightly different. They work largely almost exactly the way Word works. I've been using Word for many years. They're not exactly the same, but one can use them quite effectively, and I do. Sometimes I get frustrated, but you know, there are things that frustrate me about Word too. So, and then there's a LibreOffice Calc that is an open source spreadsheet, very similar to Excel. And there are other, presumably PowerPoint and those substitutes at alternative2.net/software/Microsoft-Excel. It's a long link, but I have it in the notes. James, do you have any comments on that? I know you've used several of those open source.
Yes, LibreOffice, OpenOffice. OpenOffice still exists. They're not doing upgrades to it anymore. And I found it to be more stable than LibreOffice. But I went ahead, I got a new M1 Apple computer. Forgive the commercial. And I went on to the Apple store, and they had like a $5 version of LibreOffice. And this version of LibreOffice has not failed me once. So forever, whatever reason, my problems with LibreOffice went away on my Mac when I made a $5 purchase from the Apple store on it. So I don't know what they did to it, but it's definitely doing a good job for me.
Yeah, it's Libre, L-I-B-R-E, Office. And I've used the, as I said, I have links in the notes, but I use a free one. Okay, the second question. I'm wondering if there's such a thing as a safer earbuds that don't emit EMF or the like. My son will soon become 23 years old and he wears the Bluetooth buds. Too much, in my opinion. I try to explain to him that his brain is being radiated by wearing them, but he thinks because he doesn't wear them a lot, that is okay. So for his birthday, I would like to buy him some non-EMF earbuds. Is there such a thing? And I'm putting again in the notes a link to Tech Wellness, which is where I got mine. These are ear tubes, and the EMF people at Children's Health Defense recommend using air tubes. And you can go on Children's Health Defense and find some recordings on the subject. But I had some that I left on a plane, and I went in to get more, and I loved my rose gold ones. For a boy, you might not be buying rose gold, but they didn't have rose gold, so I got black. And now I got an announcement that they now have rose gold again. So I think the choice is rose gold or black, but they are wired. They come with the standard stick thing that you plug into your computer. If you want to use it with an iPhone, you'll need an adapter, and they do provide adapters. I got an adapter for my iPhone that has a plug-in for both charging and for converting the stick to a whatever you call the thing that you stick in the iPhone. But Tech Wellness doesn't offer that. I got mine from Apple because I had a cheap one that I got online that does not work as well. So in that instance, Apple is an actual Apple product is probably a good idea, but I'm assuming the one that they have on Tech Wellness, which is merely an adapter for the iPhone, works. I'm assuming he has an iPhone. I assume there are also adapters that would go into an Android phone. Any comments, James?
I think we're talking about USB 3.0 versus the Apple. I have no clue what Apple calls its jack at the base of its phone, besides it's proprietary.
Is that a Lightning?
No, it's called FireWire, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I think. Okay. But you have right now, I have a Mac iCube has a bunch of those little, I believe, FireWire ports on the back versus two USBs. So I'm forced to sit here with a USB hub to talk to it. But it's amazing how Apple has bucked the trend so far as connections go. You know, they're always trying to come up with proprietary. If you look all the way through their history, they're always coming up with strange connections that you can only buy from Apple. So,
right. Do you, on your new Apple computer, does it still take the, what I called the stick thing for
the USB? It replaced the 9-port pin thing that was oblong. Yeah, they do. They do.
I mean, it's round.
Round?
It's round and a stick, the standard thing for headphones.
Oh, you're talking about the jack. Okay, that's an audio jack. Okay, so you have an audio jack. Okay, I see what you're doing. So you're going from an audio.
That's how the tubes come with the audio jack. And if you're
I believe there's one audio jack on it. Okay, there is one direct audio jack on it. But typically these days, everybody's gone to USB. The new headset that Mark suggested came with a USB connector. It came with a USB connector adapter to an audio jack. Typically that's what they're doing right now. My guess is they're going to try and phase out anything wired and go with all wireless or Bluetooth.
But we don't like that, right? Because
absolutely correct.
Yeah. So collect your old style stuff while you can still get them. And the subscriber is absolutely right about trying to avoid the Bluetooth. Bluetooth, anything is not. And if it says smart, walk away. And I actually I got some hand-me-down hearing aids, which are $4,000 ear hearing aids that I was given that do connect to an iPhone. And I was concerned about that, but I never set them up with my iPhone, and they do work, and I can charge them so I don't have to have a battery. But I'm hoping that there's not anything more emitting since I haven't hooked them up. But anyway.
I went looking for a blood pressure cuff, and I was in Walgreens, and there was nothing in their offerings that did not have Bluetooth attachment to it.
Yeah.
So I bought it because my other one broke, and it was always trying to connect to the Bluetooth. It would just bug me. So finally I gave that to my sister. And I had to go to Kroger's Fries to find myself a dumb blood pressure cuff.
Jeez.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yep. Okay. The next one we're taking from Ask Catherine. So we did talk about this on the last Ask Catherine, but since it's sort of a technical question too, I'm doing it again. And we're going to look at it slightly differently. The question is, is there a resource for determining if a car is old enough that it lacks the features which enable tracking by the government or assisting private firms without help from your cell phone? My mother is ready to sell her excellent condition, low mileage 2003 Buick. I'm wondering if it might be greater value to hold on to in case my local church community ever ends up with an underground church situation. Is it paranoid or impractical or even to even be thinking this way? I'm not a prepper, and some things are only useful if you are all in. In that case, the car would need to be in the right hands to be useful. On Ask Catherine, we said, oh man, those old Buicks are fabulous, and gave a link to a guy that Scotty Kilmer, and I put that link. That link is in the Ask Catherine. But I have in our notes links that I found to useful information on this subject. Yes, apparently in 2000 is when GPS, which I guess was developed by the military, became legal for commercial users. So they were using it in the military before that, but in 2000, it became at least legal to use in cars. So a pre-2000 car, which is getting pretty old now, 23, 24 years old, would not have GPS. My recollection is that it was the high-end cars like Cadillacs that first put the GPS in. So if you go and buy, you know, a early 2000s Cadillac or Lincoln, you're probably, maybe even Lexus, you're probably going to have a GPS. The other less expensive cars, though, basically all of them, as far as I know, have that now. So there's a link to one on how to remove a GPS tracker from your car. At one called Do New Cars Have GPS Tracking? Another one on how to buy a low-tech car, and one on driving tracking technology from The Zebra. The one on how to buy a low-tech car is from Edmunds, which does a lot of things having to do with cars. And then one was Motor and Wheels, and one was Cellular News. So,
I do. There are a couple of ways of identifying a car that has GPS. One of the ways is to look at the antenna. And if you have an antenna that looks like a shark fin with the tip cut off, then that's I'll put it in the show notes, but it's a satellite antenna. So your car is already talking to a satellite. Okay. So if you have one of those, plus, if you have any type of hands-free device in your car, any type of Bluetooth interface to your phone, then it's using your phone and or any Ring camera it can touch to export your data. So it doesn't matter. Let's say you don't even have a cell phone. It'll collect data on what you're doing, and then the Bluetooth will connect to a Ring camera or some other smart device within its range, which is considerable these days. So if you live in a neighborhood and it's filled with Ring cameras, your car will simply offload all the data it's been gathering on you and send it to God knows who.
Right. So, we're going to get to the next question, but which is related. But yes, as I understand it, there is a chip in a car that has that capability. Is that right? Or necessarily, is there not necessarily a chip?
Oh, it's more than a chip. It's an entire system. Okay. They have something called CAN bus, a controller automated network that they started installing in the cars, I believe, in the early 2010s, and has no security on it. I was having a conversation with someone over my cell phone, and my sister drives up, and because I had a link to my sister's car, my conversation started playing across her audio system. Okay. And she just pulled up in the driveway. So when she was within 10 feet of me, it picked up the signal from my phone and broadcast it into her car.
Oh, geez.
Oh, yeah.
And believe me, absolutely. I know, actually, from talking to a local sheriff's deputy, that sheriff's deputies can actually pick up stuff from your Wi-Fi driving by. And whether that's the same kind of thing that is available privately, commercially, I don't know. But I know that for several years, the police have been able to hack in. Sheriff's departments have special hardware that will allow them to do that. But, you know, just assume that they can do the same thing with your car if your car has any of these things. So just because your car does or does not have a GPS system, it goes way beyond that. And our next, it isn't actually a question. We're putting in some things that we have in our news trends and stories. So you can go, there's a section of news trends and stories. And what's it called, James? Technology or something like that?
Yeah, it's basically called 2023 Science-Technology.
Okay. And notice that the news trends and stories, which James is the person who does that, or with other people too, it's sort of changed its format. It's still at the top of the website.
We just changed the menu. So you go to the menu, click on menu, and go to left column, scroll down, you'll see NTS, and click on that. And that'll take you to the NTS page. And then we have several category icons. Click on science and technology, and then all of the science and technology stories for the year are located there.
And to get them the more recent ones at the top, you need to click on the little arrow.
Yeah, you just do a reverse sort and all the latest ones will float to the top.
Yes. So the ones we're covering now are at the top of that, if you do that. But there's a link to something, a video from Naomi Brockwell, "Don't Connect Your Phone to Your Car." And that's a YouTube video. Very interesting. And my notes indicate modern cars are hackable. The previous owner may still have access to the systems of your car if you buy a used car. Your car, recent vintage car, is a hotspot. Hundreds of companies may be getting your information. For example, insurance companies. You can open a car app with your phone. I think that's probably related to the story that James, well, that's from another hotspot in another car, but you can open a car app with your phone. And it includes video feeds, meaning someone can see what's going on in your car. If the app is free, you are the product. We should always remember that. Cars may have a microphone, meaning conversations can be heard and recorded by other people. And remember, that includes the former owner of your car and probably the cops in the neighborhood, which may not even involve getting a subpoena, which I would argue as an attorney, you know, is a problem. But now maybe we don't have any expectation of privacy, since these, you have to have an expectation of privacy in order to keep the enforcement people from having a right to get into your stuff without a subpoena. So, oh my God, this is just, you know, one of the recent things. It's reflecting our complete lack of privacy in the surveillance state. There also are ways that third parties that can have access to what's going on in your car feed in a magic word. Like if it's a company that offers pillows, when you say the word pillow, it's going to start recording. So this is, I guess you would call it an AI type of thing. But, you know, just understand, this is just very, very scary. It may be difficult to remove all of these things because, particularly on the most recent cars, there may be other functions in the car that are hooked into the same,
yes,
the same system. So if you unhook the ability of your car to do camera work, yes, you may so not be able to turn it on, for example.
There's the CAN bus feature I mentioned. There was a gentleman, a master mechanic, who had a broken taillight. And the broken taillight, because it was on the CAN bus system, and they were trying to reduce the amount of copper in the car by putting in these little multiplex switches that ran everything on like one wire, the taillight that had gotten a little bit of corrosion on it set off and turned off his radio, etc., 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 because of this one device going down. This is the scourge of too much complexity. Now, the thing I'd like to add to this is there's a guy by the name of David Bumble, and he has a hacker dude on his show and on YouTube, and they discuss all of the hacks in Mr. Robot, the movie. So I wasn't very interested in it, but all of the hacks they did in the movie were real. Okay, so these guys sat down and did their homework. And what happened is they went to the Black Hat Hacker Conference that happens every year and just pulled up the more interesting hacks and wrote a script about it. So in the movie, they steal a woman's car. So these guys are from New York and they're hacking, quote unquote, the evil corporation. And they have a couple of devices, and one of which, all of which are very affordable now. Some of the stuff was very expensive a few years ago. And what happened was they show in real time how they did this. Now, they had to be within sight of the car, but as the gal hit her key fob, it registered what frequency the signal was. So they were able to not only register it, but they captured it. And then what they did is through the same device. So they have devices that are what's called simplex, just one-way transmission. They can either receive or they can send. This device was full duplex. So this thing could receive a signal and also broadcast a signal. So she goes away and there are two hackers. And the guy just plays back her signal, car opens up. So they get in the car. So they now have to start the car. They have a ODB2 connection. I'm sorry, ODBC connection. And they plug it into the car's diagnostic port once they're in the car. And there's no security on that. And they already knew what kind of car it was. So they knew what kind of signal to send to the car to start it. And they had to do, it's a little bit of work, but anybody of that skill level knows where to go look for those signals from the manufacturer. And they hit the button and they stole the car. So in other words, through a laptop, through the diagnostic port, they will start the car and take off.
Particularly if you have like a $50,000 or $75,000 new car.
Well, now from 2014 on, it gets a little harder because what they'll do is they'll roll the codes out of your key fob. So if you unlock your car with your remote fob one time, the next code that comes up is different. So they have a number of these. So what happens is that they just have to figure out what sequence those are, you see, or follow you around long enough to record them, okay, and then play it back.
Because they reappear.
Right. So just it's a circular list.
They
cycle through it. And I haven't watched the more advanced version of how they hack the security that's in the newer cars, but I'm dying to watch it because I'm very interested in it.
And be assured that the really good hackers can do it.
What's interesting is if the hack that was shown in Mr. Robot could be done by a high school kid, okay. Within a high school kid's budget. So think about that. All you have to have is the will and the know-how, and it's very doable.
This video, Naomi Brockwell also says that they can collect biometric data on you. Biometric data meaning stuff from your pupil and fingerprints and things like that.
Well, I mean, I don't know about their fingerprints, but they do things to measure your mood, how you get agitated.
So you get a boyfriend.
If they are picking up all the audio in the car, they are going to run that through probably AI and attach it to some profile they have on you, some master database. So they are building a very detailed psychological profile on you. So when and if the time comes, you fall under their gaze and they want to do something to you very surreptitiously, they've got the data to do it.
Right. Now, this video also says both that the car can harvest data from a smartphone, and the smartphone can harvest data from a car, and the government can subpoena that information.
Well, you and I both know that their respect for a subpoena is less than nothing. So once it goes into the system, they've got it.
Right. So I have a 2006 Pontiac Vibe, which is a Toyota, and I'm looking at getting a used Subaru 2006 or 2007. And so I presumably won't have to worry about these things, but, you know, beware of cell phones. It might be a good idea to put, you know, get a Faraday bag so that you can put your cell phone in it and at least have privacy when you're in a public place where you absolutely don't want to be vulnerable. And if you, you know, it isn't a bad idea to not talk too much on a cell phone in your car.
Well, what's interesting is you have to sit back and wonder what the capabilities are of these new smart cars. There was this is a repeat of something I've said previously, but a windshield replacement technician would not talk to an owner of a Tesla unless they were 10 feet away from the car. Okay. He had gotten burned somehow. And before he would talk to the guy who owned the car, he'd pull him 10 feet away and talk to him. But he would not say boo in front of the car.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another one is from News Trends and Stories is number of planned low orbit satellites now exceeds 1 million.
Wow.
Any comment on that? Or you think it speaks
well,
for itself?
Yeah, you have, this is a plan to scan the Earth every time they pass over so that they can literally keep the entire Earth under surveillance. There's a technology called SAR, Synthetic Aperture Radar. And what it does is that they can now see the surface of the Earth through any kind of weather, whether it's day or night, and SAR can now see through walls, okay?
Okay, but I understand from reading this article that it's not like you can see what people are doing or identify a person through a wall. You can see that there is a wall, but, and this is called Apollo 2, right?
No, this, I'm sorry, what? Say
you're
again,
talking
please.
About Capella 2, which is the second link in.
Right. I went, there's something called, no, this is Capella 2. I went and did some, but I went and did some research on SAR, and I'll include it in the show notes, that they can now see through walls. And I'm not sure if they can pick up carbon units inside your home, but they can definitely see through walls these days. And why would anyone need to know on a day-by-day basis the entire surface layout of the planet? They are definitely surveilling us, wanting to know where everybody is at every millisecond of the day, which portends something horror show in my mind.
I agree. The explanation of how this works is SAR sends pulses of radio waves to impact the desired area and bounces off, creating an echo that can be detected upon its return. The echoes are then stitched together by software to create an image.
Yes. So. Yes. And one of the reasons I believe they have these strings of Starlink satellites is because the reflectiveness of a surface is so irregular that they have multiple satellites. So the first one will fire off a ping, a radar ping, and then they can capture the different angles of its return across the other satellites,
mm-hmm.
and then average it to get a more perfect image of what they're trying to surveil.
And presumably 3D, right?
I'm guessing if you have that much data coming back, just depends on the angle and geometry of the surface they're trying to surveil. I haven't seen any images yet, but I need to look that up and see what kind of image are they actually producing with this satellite scan.
Yeah. Now, I have another quote I'm going to read from this link. Capella are releasing a new product called Spotlight, in which customers can pay for access to long exposure shots of specific areas of interest. These images are captured for as long as 60 seconds, creating an extreme level of detail that is of interest to both scientists and the military. Luckily, the product isn't available to everyone. Vetting procedure is carried out on any people requesting the images. Nevertheless.
Well, these digital maps are what they use in cruise missiles. Okay.
Oh.
So when they were able to start doing, they had to produce a very accurate map of elevation so that a cruise missile could get as low to the ground as possible without being subject to radar. What they're trying to invade is what's called air defense artillery, ADA. And these are smart missiles with short range, just above the horizon radar. So if one of these ADA units, batteries, I should say, picks up an incoming missile or missiles, it triggers the radar and then the ADA goes after them. So this really, really cuts down on their vulnerability to this ADA system.
Wow. Right.
And the more detailed map, the better chance they have to get through.
Now, the next link is from Wired, how police cameras recognize and track you. Wired says 17% of, I guess, households in the United States have smart surveillance cameras, which are primarily the Ring doorbell. I don't know whether there's another. Is Ring a technology or is it a brand? It's really a brand, isn't it? So they might be called something else.
Yeah, but... yeah. Ring is a brand. And it's Brave New World, enemy of the state surveillance that you pay for.
And your neighbor... I mean, your neighbor can pick up things from your neighbor's Ring. Mm-hmm. And you can pick up things from your neighbor's Ring. I mean, this is not a great idea.
It's running through technology called Bluetooth Low Energy, which I went on about ad nauseum a few shows ago. But it's part of the Google Sidewalk initiative to be able to surveil everybody and have them pay for it.
Right. In other words, have the customer pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And remember that this is possible from a drone also.
Oh yeah. Well,
so the police can track people. I mean, it makes you wonder how they would have trouble finding anyone who's stolen anything or done deals.
If you have a cell phone on you, okay? Okay. If you have a cell phone on you, and I believe it's the Army R-135 spy plane acts as a cell tower. So when it flies overhead, any smart device connects to it. It's like a cell tower. So the smart devices all connect to this thing automatically. And then the smart devices will then take information from the dumb Bluetooth low energy platforms in the area and just dump all the data they've received from them to this spy plane. Okay.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there's I've mentioned this before, Monkey Works is a YouTube channel and he goes over where these spy birds go.
Oh yeah, I've seen Monkey Works.
And they fly over. They were extremely busy during the recount in Maricopa County during the governor's election.
Well, and weren't there some things going on over Lahaina?
Oh, yeah. Over Lahaina, as well as right before October 7th in Israel.
Oh,
okay,
geez.
There was a tremendous amount of spy bird activity in the area just before. So there was no way on the planet any type of troop movement could not be seen.
And here's what I found interesting in here. It says there, because all of this stuff is out there, and maybe the recordings get dropped after a period of time when nobody's interested in it. I mean, otherwise, we're using a huge amount of energy storing everything that's ever happened since this all went up. But they can actually focus on a person of interest at a point in time and go backwards and look for what happened right before that moment in time, a theft or a murder or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, that's interesting. And there's store monitoring with facial recognition. And I think we probably may have mentioned this before. The facial recognition, particularly in cheap, you know, presumably there are cheap versions of this sort of thing that small store owners or whatever could get, which would make it even worse if it's not a good system. But there can be a limit to the accuracy. And the TV shows that show how an African-American person is targeted who didn't do anything and the facial recognition says it's that person, there is some truth in that because they're less accurate. The facial recognition systems are less accurate for people with darker skin.
With the new image software, they can put your face on anybody.
Yeah. Okay?
In fact,
and they can get it from what you've already put up in social media. So yeah.
The Google phone now has a methodology that if you have a picture, you can go back. Let's say you're out on a picnic and you take 10 pictures, and you have a picture, but you don't like one of the guests, you know, facial expressions. You can hit the app, touch the face of the guy you want to change, and it will cycle through a list of pictures and take the image of the face you want to put in that pic. Okay.
You wonder how in enforcement actions or in court cases going after people criminally, how they can prevent targeting someone who hasn't done anything. I mean, maybe there's some kind of footprint to show that that's been done.
Well, like I said, look at the effort they did in trying to put Catherine away. You know, look at what they did to Martin Armstrong. Look at what they're doing to Julian Assange. Armstrong was in jail for like 7 years for contempt of court. You know, no judge, no senator, no anybody stepped up to plead this man's plight. And, you know, right now with the amount of, you know, image software that's out there, when I first saw the first down line appear on a football game, I sat back and I felt a physical shock go through my body. I said, now they can change anything. Okay. So I'm serious. Right now, if you see a video or a digital formatted picture, take it for face value. But if someone takes a picture with a digital camera, you have to be a image software expert to be able to go through it and look for the signatures of a transplant or an edit on that picture. It can be done, but right now, to be able to present digital footage of someone in quotes who's committed a crime and present it to the police can happen to anybody at any time.
There's an interesting thing also that apparently at least some police departments have an app that is to a fusion system in what they call intelligence space, and it can consolidate databases into a single app on a smartphone. So a policeman can, on his or her smartphone, bring up information from multiple databases about a particular person. You know, why don't we want a national ID, among mm-hmm. other reasons? Mm-hmm. And apparently there's something called a Hikvision sensor that is manufactured by a Chinese company. Does that mean the Chinese can do it to you too? You know, we've said on previous shows that anything like a phone, hint, hint, iPhone that's manufactured in China probably has a backdoor in it. So,
mm-hmm. Well, I find it interesting the Chinese are so interested in us.
Yeah. Well, the warning that comes with this article or this link is would be very dangerous to have AI layered on top of this that is making decisions and having things automatically happen based on all of this surveillance. So again, be careful. The last one in this, is this the last one?
Yeah. I believe it is. No.
Last one is how public cameras can recognize and track you. That's from Wired also. I heard someone describe, somebody decided what's going on during this shutdown that we had three years ago, decided, I wonder what they're doing while we're all, you know, shut in. And this person went out at between something like 2 and 3 in the morning and saw all sorts of utility trucks out there putting things into presumably lights, public lights. And it presumably involved cameras, but a huge amount of stuff was put out publicly on public lights, and it could also be cell towers or whatever. And we didn't know this, you know, they did it in the middle of the night so people would not notice. So
those systems got a stealth upgrade.
Does that mean guns?
I'm sorry.
When you say a stealth upgrade, are you talking about possible weapons attached?
No. That would be too clunky. Fortunately, they don't have miniature weaponry that can do any damage at a distance. You have to have a full size. Yeah, correct. But the fact that they took that it was coordinated during COVID just lends credence on how much of a op the whole, you know, COVID fiasco was.
Yeah. Okay. Well, James, we've come to the end, and it's been a very interesting tech corner. And you know, take all this with a grain of salt, but it does tell you, you know, living in fear is a bad idea. And we've talked about how fear is something that absolutely makes you sick.
It's a weapon. It is the most dangerous weapon they have in their quiver.
But I hope you'll be smart. Don't live in fear, but be smart about what you do wear. And don't think that going into a car of any recent vintage to have a private conversation is a safe thing to do.
No, it is not a prudent idea, no.
And put your cell phone in a Faraday cage if you're going to do that.
That's definitely on my Christmas list.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you, James.
Carolyn, thank you very much. I hope my voice is up to the next one. Thank you very much.
Hey, you sounded fine. Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.